Blog Talk Radio.
Are you looking to take your social technology strategies to the next level? Then do we have a show for you. Social Geek Radio co-hosts AK Stout and Deb Evans chat weekly with innovative technology folks who share their experiences, tips, and tricks to help you take your business to the next level. Social Geek Radio is brought to you by Saying It Social and Deb Evans Consulting, LLC. To learn more about their unique services, including but not limited to speaking, consulting, and training, visit AK Stout and Deb Evans Consulting.com.
So this is Deb Evans coming to you live from the Houston Stagecoach, Texas area, and I have that one of those innovative technology folks, AK Stout, on the line. Hello, AK.
Hello, hello. I'm sorry not to yawn again.
Well,
it's just the hours I'm keeping.
Yes, yes. You need to tell us a little bit about those hours and all those tweets and what you've been doing this week. Really been following it and looked very exciting. So why don't you tell everybody?
Yes. Yeah, so yesterday and today was Baltimore Ad Week, and it was a two-day conference in downtown Baltimore. Even though it's really from the Advertising Association, it was all focused primarily on social and mobile. And I go to a lot of conferences, and I have to say this one was one of the best that I've actually been to. We had people who were just really giving case studies about what they're doing instead of telling you what you should be doing. They're really giving you kind of real-world experiences, which I think was really, really helpful, at least to me. Yesterday afternoon, we had the guy and the gal who were doing the social for USA Today, and just telling us what they do and how they come about with the pieces that they put out and, you know, how they come up with the creatives for engagement. And it was so interesting. And I tweeted the whole thing, of course. The hashtag was AdWeekMD for AdWeek Maryland. And I actually got a free pass in exchange for tweeting, which was really nice. So I, like, overly tweeted to make sure that it was worth it for them. But I think there were some great, great points and takeaways that came out of it. So if you're interested, definitely look up the hashtag.
Yeah, no, I was catching up this morning, and as I said, you know, I'll catch up again tomorrow to see today's tweets, because you had a lot of good, as you always do when you're tweeting from an event, but it's one thing just to be tweeting what's being said, but it's like, oh, this is really good. You know, I liked what they were sharing. So I'm anxious to go back through and really dig a little deeper and see. I wish I were there, but that's the next best thing, is to do it virtually.
Right.
So you still use one of the apps that you shared long time ago. I think you're still using the Time Hopper app, aren't you?
Well, okay, so we shared the Time Hop app. It was actually, at the time when I shared it, it was just a website service. So it's timehop.com, and when you went to it, I think when I signed up for it, you could only hook up Facebook and Twitter, and it enabled you to get a daily email that would send you exactly what you tweeted and or posted on Facebook on that day a year ago. So it was
right.
Kind of cool, like what you were doing a year ago. And I got it every day, and I religiously read it every day. And if there were people in it that I thought would find it interesting, I would forward it along, and so on and so forth. And yesterday at the conference, the folks from USA Today asked if anybody had heard about the Time Hop app. And I was like, yes, I have. But then I got to thinking, like, I haven't seen the emails in a really long time. So I raised my hand, and I was the only one in the room. Of course, you raised
of course.
My hand. And they're like, oh, thank you. And the reason that they were talking about it is because they've actually partnered with TimeHop. And at the bottom of the daily note telling you what happened a year ago, they tell you the news that happened either a year ago or 4 years ago or on that exact day in history. So that, you know, they're sort of integrating their information in with it. And I hadn't realized that. I don't know at what point the email stopped, but they did stop. and it's now strictly an iOS app. So once we were talking about it, I was like, ah, at least I have my iPad Mini. So I went and I downloaded it. So now you just have to click onto the app, and actually it shows you a year ago, up to 4 years ago, it shows you what you posted on those days, and it does Instagram, Foursquare, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, a whole bunch of other ones, and it's like all the photos that you have stored on your device, it'll pull those back in from years ago. So it's definitely enhanced, but they don't do the daily emails anymore. You have to strictly do it through the app.
Well, I'll download the app again. So a year ago, we were doing the show, and we had quite an interesting show that night, didn't we?
Yep. A year ago, we had Keith Murphy, who was talking to us about his deja vu app. And actually, you know, I don't know what's going on with Keith and his app. I should follow up with that.
We should follow up.
Feel to be like it's been like a year.
And
actually, this same week, according to Time Hop app, we had Jean on talking about Charity Miles, and we had like the part one, and then it Blog Talk Radio, and it cut off, and we had him doing a recording of part two, and then we had Keith in the same week. So this is all when we started talking about Charity Miles also.
And look where Charity Miles is. That is amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. That's fun.
It's all
started
with Social Geek Radio.
That's right. Most things start with Social Geek Radio. So... Why don't I go ahead and introduce our guest so that we can let Nicole Hudson join us. And she and I have known each other for a while socially on the digital space in franchising, and we got to meet in person not too long ago. But Nicole is with Inbound Lead Solutions, and we're going to talk about social selling and LinkedIn. So, Nicole, it's good to have you tonight.
Deb and AK, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're doing now and how you got to, you know, your new business, and before we just dive into LinkedIn.
Sure. So Inbound Lead Solutions is just over 6 months old, and we've had a really whirlwind 6 months. It's been really fantastic. As you both know, as budding entrepreneurs, wear a lot of hats, and it's something new every day. I actually have been in the franchise space on the franchisor side for about 2.5 years before I launched the business. And I worked for a company called Service Brands International, which has brands Molly Maid, Mr. Handyman, Protex Painters, and they had just sold 1-800-DRY-CLEAN before I left. And so I spent my time there really focusing on digital marketing and social media strategies, launching applications and digital and social strategies across all brands and all franchisees. And then in the last year and a half at my tenure there, I really dug deep into franchise sales and kind of built a new digital selling platform where we integrated HubSpot and had unique social media channels for each of the brands, and then started training out our franchise development sales team in how to socially sell.
Very good. Now, you are in Michigan, correct?
I am. I'm in the Detroit metro area. So as we like to say, opportunity is made in Detroit, even though we are currently in the middle of a bankruptcy, and we're also in the middle of a pretty big baseball game right now with the Tigers and the Sox going on. So a lot of excitement over here in the Midwest.
Okay, you totally lost me when it comes to sports. AK's the sports person here. Like, I know what baseball is. Other than that, you've lost me. It's like, okay, I'm all, I'm terrible.
I was wondering, what's that going to do with that information right there?
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
right,
I get lost.
That
is so funny. I'm just, you know, it's transparent. So as Nicole and AK and I were talking before we went live, it seems like, you know, LinkedIn got lost. You know, you got all these new social platforms. You got, you know, Twitter came, and people were starting to use Facebook for business, and we were doing Foursquare just faithfully. And I think, you know, a lot of folks forgot that LinkedIn was there long before the other platforms and was always used for business. And I don't know what it is, and maybe the two of you can tell me, but all of a sudden LinkedIn is like a hot topic again, and how to use it. And I think, and what I've seen with some of my clients is they've forgotten. How should I use LinkedIn? How should I do a company page? And how do I, you know, how do I socially sell or market with LinkedIn?
Yeah, definitely. You know, LinkedIn had traditionally been the place, you know, was your online resume, and it wasn't necessarily an engagement platform. It was, you know, if you were on LinkedIn and everyone would notoriously joke around, oh my gosh, did so-and-so update their profile? They're totally looking for a new job.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was always, you know, this joke that would go through the office when people would talk about LinkedIn. But LinkedIn really started doing some really interesting things and had some really key leadership and some really forward-thinking decisions. And, you know, they are currently one of the fastest-growing social networks, and it's completely transitioned into a place where business professionals go to showcase their professional brand, their personal brand, and they go to educate themselves on a host of different things. And it's really, truly the place where you grow and engage as a business professional.
And AK, didn't we have, Todd Leeser from Valpak on the show a couple years ago, and he remembered what number or what his ID number is based on when he was one of the first users. And I didn't know until just recently that when you go to LinkedIn and your user ID or your URL before you customize it, that long number is tells you when you join LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so funny. I actually didn't know that until recently. And actually I learned that from your post, and I thought that that was so funny. And I'm like, oh my gosh, where's that number? And I want to know what number I was.
Yeah, I was a late adopter to LinkedIn. So.
Very cool.
So you talk about, you know, let's cover some of the questions we had put on what we'd say we talked about tonight. So what is, how do you define social selling, and then content marketing as well, and then how does it apply to LinkedIn?
Totally. So, you know, one of the buzz terms currently, I'm sure that we'll all be sick of in the next 6 months, is social selling. And, you know, all social selling really is, it's the practice of leveraging social networks and all the associated tools in the whole overall sales process, from lead generation to close deals to even account management. You know, in my opinion, I think this is a wonderful transition in the sales process because it helps marketers and salespeople come together and actually be better representatives of their products and services and provide better relationships and information to the relationships that they're having with, you know, their future customers. You know, I think we all can agree that the internet has completely upended the sales cycle. You know, buyers are now doing a vast amount of research online. You know, they're completely in the top of that funnel, you know, bypassing that traditional sales practice where you get on the phone with a representative, or, you know, you really have minimal information. Remember, information used to be, you know, the teaser or the hook, and it was so forced. And just to get someone interested before, you know, then they transition to that salesperson. But now, you know, the internet and social media has just fundamentally changed everything. So, you know, you can reach out to your industry peers and access large amounts of data and, you know, street knowledge without ever even having to connect with a sales rep. And I think, you know, the last little nugget of data that I saw from Comscore is that 82% of the world's online population is reached by a social networking site. 82%. I mean,
wow,
that's just huge, right?
Yeah.
And then on top of that, serious decision reported that 70% of the buyer's journey is completed before they talk to a salesperson. So that's anything from what you posted on a social network to, you know, reviews on your product or service, any of the public relations that, you know, is out there and that has, you know, been rendered in the search engine results pages. I mean, and if you're not out there managing that brand story and how it's pieced together and how they enter and find you through all the different areas of, you know, the internet through search and SEO, you're losing a huge opportunity to frame that message, speaking to the audience that you want to get to.
Mm-hmm. So we know that LinkedIn is used for business, and we'll talk in a minute about how to set up, you know, those company pages, which I think a lot of people are missing out on setting up a company page. But why LinkedIn versus the other social platforms, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or Tumblr or what, you know, whatever that might be?
Sure. So LinkedIn specifically is a business platform. So it's business people wanting to know about things related to business. So I know HubSpot just recently said that it's 277% more effective for lead generation than Facebook and Twitter. So a lot of LinkedIn obviously is skewed, one, to the individual, and two, a little bit more robustly to the B2B market. But in the industry, I know that, you know, Debbie and I are in franchising, and specifically, LinkedIn is uniquely qualified on a lot of fronts because, one, that local franchisee, they're a business owner looking to network and build their, you know, their personal energy, not only in to sell their product or service, but to build that network of people in the community. So LinkedIn is, you know, uniquely qualified not only as them as a business professional, but for their business as well. Then you kind of go on up to the larger brand side. And so for franchise development, selling of the franchise, you have a business opportunity from a business to a future business owner who is probably a business person. So, you know, that's four businesses in one sentence, not to be redundant. So those opportunities are so uniquely curated to be in, you know, LinkedIn. You know, another thing is LinkedIn's all about information and resources. It's really turned into the professional publishing platform. And right now, actually, content now garners 6 times more engagement than the job properties on LinkedIn. So, you know, when we were discussing before that LinkedIn used to be exclusively about looking for a job and connecting with HR professionals, which it's still grown leaps and bounds to be an even better aggregator of finding a new career, people are going there to learn and educate themselves and engage with content. So I would say that's really kind of the primary difference because, you know, I think Twitter's more of that real-time instant gratification, 140 characters of really relevant information or that, you know, that shot to the heart bit of teaser to really get you into either looking deeper into your research process. And then, you know, Facebook's definitely tailored for the brand. And it's tailored for, you know, the personal production of, you know, kind of choosing, letting your life play out and letting people be connected and get to know you through that platform. And I'm just going to keep it to those three. Otherwise, you know, we'd spend all day talking about all the different social networks.
I think you should ask AK. Hey, AK, how many social networks do you belong to today? We could start that whole contest again and have you research. And it took her a while.
Yeah, no, I don't want to research that. Oh my god.
We had a list going and I forget how many we found her on or she found herself on.
Wow. Now where's the app for that?
I know. The thing is I test them all but I don't necessarily continue to use them all. So like I'm out there with a profile on many of them, but of course mm-hmm. not active on them.
Right, right. And then sometimes she'll share something on Social Geek Radio and I'll pull it out like, oh, yeah, I think I have a platform there. Oh, forgot about that. But anyway, you know,
oh my gosh.
I'm going to ask both of you this. I've seen the infographics of best time to post on Facebook and best time to tweet and when to send your email marketing newsletters out. I don't think I've seen anything specific about when's the best time to update or post a status on LinkedIn. Is there best time, or what's the norm or the recommended? What's your advice?
AK, you want to go first? Or you want me to?
I haven't heard, honestly. I mean, when I'm going to post on LinkedIn, I kind of just do it usually, in the middle of the day around, lunchtime, because that's when I feel like a lot of people are perusing their social media sites, but I haven't actually seen a statistic on it.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen any stat either or any, I take that back. I can't, off the top of my head, tell you a specific time for LinkedIn, but I do vaguely remember seeing some kind of chart or infographic that aggregated the top 10 social networks and, showed a flow chart on when the most engagement was. I can just really explain from my personal experience when people in my community engage with me the most, and that's pretty standard when it's, those first two cups of coffee in the morning.
Right.
it's definitely the lunchtime lull. And then, the 2 o'clock food coma tends to be a really hot time. And then those clock watchers at 4 o'clock, passing those last few minutes. So the other thing is it's so driven by mobile. And it's unique too, when, we all have a lot of professional colleagues that do a lot of meetings or attend a lot of conferences. I feel like, when I know that something big in the industry is happening, social networking is just off to the roof. So when I'm posting something for more important or that I want to promote or potentially a piece of content I've written about, I'll actually save it to do a blitz when I know a big event's happening, because I get a lot more engagement then, and then they're talking about it too. So that's one little trick that seemed to work for me.
Yeah, and I do like the apps. I like the iPad LinkedIn app, and I have it on my phone. I know that I don't tend to, as you said, there's 2 cups of coffee in the morning. I'm sure we all have the same routine. You get your coffee, I hit, Facebook, and then I hit Twitter, and then I might hit, my email. I find that I'm still not as diligent about checking LinkedIn as often during the day, but usually it's the first thing in the morning. It is one of my social platforms that I do check, and I see what's going on, what do they miss, as far as updates.
Interestingly enough, I've only started looking at my LinkedIn more frequently because I added the app. Because when I go through and I look at all of the little red circles with the alerts that I have for all of my apps, when I see the circle there, that says to me, click on me, because I want that little circle with the notifications to go away. So when I go in there, it tells me, who's changed jobs or who's having a birthday or, that kind of thing. So, I think the app is really helpful with that, and at least for me, reminding me to go in and look to see what's going on there.
Right. And it certainly helps that you can tag people now, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I have a habit of tagging. It's like, oh, we're going to do Social Cake Radio. Let me see who I can tag here. but it has been, as we said earlier, it's been really active and people are starting to use it more. So I think there's still an opportunity there that we need to check and really get a great infographic and do some analysis based maybe on our industry, on our sector of franchising. Say, oh, this is when they're using LinkedIn. But so what kinds of should a company or a brand be producing and sharing on LinkedIn? And that's going to open up that whole conversation too. Should companies and brands have a company page?
Yes. So unequivocally, I say yes, yes, yes. I think the company page is really important, and I think we've only hit the tip of the iceberg. So back to content. And again, another, buzzword. I feel like those of us in social media are always speaking and, acronyms and buzzwords, and we only have, a unique language, but I'm excited to know that there's enough information out there that no one has to be in the dark anymore. They're only a Google search away from knowing what we're talking about. But,
right.
You know, I really think content has turned into the new collateral that starts the relationship building process. You know, content marketing is pretty much traditionally defined as really only a marketing technique of, you know, creating and distributing relevant and valuable content that is developed to attract, acquire, and engage a clearly defined and understood target audience with that objective of making them take some kind of action. You know, the key to that definition is clearly defined and understood target audience. So, you know, if you're going to participate in building content for LinkedIn, no longer do the masses, are you trying to appeal to the masses anymore? Everything is about segmentation and data and understanding the buyer behavior profiles of who you're trying to connect with online. That is truly, you know, one of, you know, the secret ingredients to the sauce on how content marketing works. A lot of the major things that you produce content-wise that people, you know, typically engage with are, you know, really data-driven. So you're looking at white papers and case studies and articles. You know, one of the most absolute underutilized areas where I've seen incredible return on investment, and it's return on investment that you've already paid for, is repurposing your press. So especially in the market that I play in franchising, it is so imperative, and these big franchisors and franchisees, you know, pay into these national ad funds and have local funds where they get a lot of public relations. And so once you know, get that press or even a traditional, you know, magazine article, or, you know, you're in some traditional space that maybe isn't transitioned to online, you can put something like that into a slide share and make that viral. And so anytime you get a press, share, 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 share. Otherwise, if you're not promoting that, you know, you paid for that. And that, you know, is typically relevant for your business for a lot longer than, you know, the 24-hour news cycle, or, you know, for the publication, or is it 30 to 60 days relevancy cycle. I know when I started the franchise development program and the LinkedIn company, you know, pages and expanding that, we were able to go back 2, 3, and 4 years and pull relevant news on franchisees that still existed, because we were trying to showcase that story of what it meant to be a part of this brand and to be a franchisee, and all of that same content was really relevant.
So, okay, so you pulled it and you recycled it and you put it in a slide share and just start sharing it on the LinkedIn pages. And, of course, I love slide share. I know I underutilize it. I know AK used to be a big user of slide share. She taught me a lot of tricks of how to take blog posts and put them in slide share. It's like, oh, bonus.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, without SlideShare, my business would not have grown as fast as it has in these 6 months. My two newest clients were a lead generated from SlideShare through an article that I was written that was produced in the franchising.com magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So it has been, you know, social media has grown my social media business. So. Great.
Yeah, I was thrilled to hear when you had reminded me when we met in Washington and you said you put it on SlideShare, and then I saw it, it's like, oh, that's right, because I have an article going in November. So I keep reminding myself, okay, when it's published, I have to put it on SlideShare. I can't forget about that. So,
yes,
very good.
Yes, the PDF is gold, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. So back to the company page, one of the things I'm asked the most, okay, you know, I think brands pretty much understand, you know, how the company page should be outlined and they should have some content on there. How often should somebody from the brand be posting or updated a company page? I think a lot of the company pages are static. It's like they've established it. They have, mm-hmm, I just looked at one today, had 7,000 followers. And it's like, really? That's great. But all you have is a company page. What are you following?
Right.
It's like you're following nothing. And they don't notify you anymore on the company pages. It used to be, I think you received, long ago when it first started, I think you received notification that somebody new was following your page.
Yes. So I'm actually a beta tester for company pages, and so I'm not allowed to really talk about what you just asked me.
Okay.
But I think there's going to be some interesting another round of new product launches and tweaks to the system, and I am hoping that maybe some of those notifications and other things like that will be addressed. And
cool.
This new one coming up in a few months.
Very good. Yeah. Again, we go to bed and then we wake up and somebody's updated some platform. But that
right.
would be good. I can deal with an update.
So to get back to your question on company pages, I think my personal belief, which is hard, and you have to, the culture change and the adoption into social media being an important platform, starts from the top and having not only a content strategy, but in form of, who your social value and your voice and who are you and what are you trying to accomplish in that channel is really number one. And then two, what is the content and the messaging and the images and all of the things that are going to encompass and tell that story. So you really have to answer those questions first before you even get to the, how quickly should I, or how much should I be posting? But the quick answer to that is I would post every day. I think there's something to be said about your company and LinkedIn that's relevant every day. I know I'm on LinkedIn probably 15 to 20 times a day, and I see something new every time I'm on there, and it's even more interesting to me when they show, what your network's engaging with. And when you start to see these little, communities that are forming of people that are interested in similar pieces of content. And I remember that. So when I sit down every month to think about, what are the main things that I want to, be talking about or be a thought leader or position the business around this month, I actually sit down and I plan that out a little bit. Obviously, all these things happen in real time and, you get excited or you get off on a tangent, but I actually have a LinkedIn value and voice mission statement literally that sits above my computer. So every time I'm like, oh, is that piece of content relevant to my audience? I look up and I look at that and I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe not. No one wants to know that I'm a crazy cat lady, even though cats convert. The business world doesn't want to know about my cat obsession. So I stop myself from sharing that irrelevant piece of content. But company pages are truly the window into a company culture. And so I think company pages is a really interesting place where all of these silos and channels of an organization can actually come together and share content and be relevant. So an HR professional obviously is posting open jobs, but companies celebrate their employees every day. They have birthdays or they have conferences or they do all of these things that a communications or a marketing or an HR person takes photos and shares stories. And I would, back when I was looking for a job in corporate America, I was hungry to hear reviews and read stories on a person's experience within the company. Even when someone gets promoted, like the road to the, the corner office, we love those stories. We can see ourselves following that path and knowing that that's happening in a company. So obviously this is all really contingent on, your product and your service and your company, but there's all these little things that you can show and share that someone will engage with. And once you hook them, and, a lot of these times these companies and these products and these brands, they're all synonymous, and then sometimes they're not. And if, for example, like a P&G, that's really, ultimately you could follow 6 or 7 of their, you could follow P&G and then all of their brands and products. And ultimately there's a way to weave all of those messages together where, you're a product, you're with their products for life. So
Okay.
Do you want me to...
Well, here's the specific question about company pages that has come through to me. And I know, AK, you deal with a lot of franchises as well that have, you know, franchise brand that has multiple franchisees. Mm-hmm. A company, let's just say it's saying it's Social Franchise, and then they're saying it's Social Baltimore, and they're saying it's Social Houston, and they're saying, you know, blah, 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 blah. So should a company page be set up for the franchisor saying it's Social, and then each individual, as you would do on LinkedIn, each individual franchisee have saying it's Social Baltimore as a company page and saying it's Social Houston and blah, blah, blah. So, but for both of you, and I don't care who goes first, what's your feeling on that?
Okay, you can go.
You know, I would actually say that I would have like a national presence for sure as a company
mm-hmm.
page. I would also have each individual franchise location have their own presence simply because I feel strongly that they have their own unique information to share.
Mm-hmm.
So sure, you know, corporate might have information for them to push out, like just general information about products and services and, you know, just general industry-specific information. But, you know, as a local business, you have things going on locally that are very unique from what's going on at corporate or what's going on with somebody across the country. So I still feel like there's an opportunity there to really have a presence and sort of showcase your own information.
Okay. Nicole?
That is such a complicated question. I'm gonna have to go down the middle, and I think it just depends. They're on one side, I don't think, depending on the franchise organization and how everything sort of shapes out and the ability and time you have as a local marketer. I don't think you should have, in some instances, your own LinkedIn page. And I also don't think LinkedIn, you know, they used to have affiliate pages and they used to have a way to be able to attach the local to the
mm-hmm.
main company page, and they did away with that for a while. I do know there will be a new solution probably within the next 6 months to a year that I think will make this answer unequivocally yes, you will have a local page. But right now it's not necessarily set up to be that advantageous for that local owner. Unless you're really passionate about it and you're going to manage it and follow and do it. Otherwise, I think it just kind of dilutes the brand, and you could be sharing all of and be an admin to the main brand page, and you could help grow that community versus fragmenting it out. On the other end, like I agree with AK that there are some local businesses or even, you know, co-ops where, if, you know, there's a lot of you in a small area that you would get together and do a regional page where you're all admins, but you would all be sharing things about your region. I think that's why having a LinkedIn strategy is so important, because ultimately everybody knowing what everyone's doing and having guidelines on how to do it is key. Just if you're just going to sign up and kind of, you know, occasionally share stuff, when if there was a plan, your time would be so much more impactful, which
mm-hmm.
is ultimately the goal, not just to participate in social media or LinkedIn just because. It's to build relationships, sell products,
right.
drive leads.
Okay, and I'm on the fence with that. I mean, I see both sides. I work with a lot of local franchisees. I know some that are really anxious to get started on it, but their corporate doesn't have a strong LinkedIn page yet, and I really hate to see franchisees getting ahead of the franchisor, trying to get the franchisor to catch up. So
right.
I just they're strong on Facebook. They get that. It's just like, you know, just do that and keep your, what I recommend the franchisees, keep their individual page very active on LinkedIn and participate in groups and do all of that. And then let's hold off. So now I'm going to say, oh, let's hold off on the LinkedIn strategy as far as doing a company page, because LinkedIn might be coming up with some updates in the next 6 months. So that's helpful.
And well, ultimately, I mean, your personal network and, like mm-hmm. you said, participating in groups and asking to be an administrator to your larger brand's page. There's a million things that you can do if you really, really, really want to be a part of LinkedIn. And just automatically starting your own local page may not be the best mm-hmm. avenue. So in the franchise community, which we're all in, definitely, you know, talk to your local marketing professional.
Very good. So one of the other questions that we have listed here, too, is, you know, relationship building. And I think we're all in our audience understands how to build relationships on the platforms. But how do you build the relationships to where it actually converts to a sale, to a strong yeah. lead?
Yes. So, again, there's no total secret sauce. And, you know, steps 1 through 10 are going to make you $1 million. If that was the case, I would be on an island somewhere. But there are a lot of things that you really can start to do that build the foundation for you to start building those relationships. And, you know, one is really it starts with your personal profile and you decide, you know, who am I? What is my purpose in LinkedIn and who am I trying to connect with? So kind of answering those questions first and foremost really help you start to discover what kinds of content you're going to curate, meaning what, you know, what blogs or what companies or what organizations are you going to follow? And then what kind of content are you going to create and what problems are you going to solve or education are you going to provide? And those pools of people are typically people that you're trying to connect with. So once you sort of make those decisions, and obviously we've all read all the, you know, have a good, you know, a good picture and, you know, make sure everything's sort of, your profile is robustly filled out. And there's all these new, you know, slideshare links to your LinkedIn profile now. You can list, you know, projects and, you know, you really can showcase your work and, you know, awards you've gotten. And, you know, you can get really creative. You know, one of the things that I did that, you know, people thought was funny, but I was really proud when LinkedIn maybe 6 months ago, sent that little email and saying, you know, you're one of the most percentaged used viewers in all of our, you know, 200 million users. I was over the moon excited when I was told I was, you know, 1% of the most viewed profiles on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted a little gold star to put on my shirt and walk around. Totally back to kindergarten, but I was really excited. And I immediately called up, you know, my friend at LinkedIn, and I'm like, I am so excited about this today. And she's like, you have no idea how happy we are to hear that. So,
yeah, I got to say, when they changed it to where your profile is 100% complete, so now you're an all-star. It's like, I'm an all-star. Cool.
Right?
That competitiveness, you know, the badges we were talking
totally.
About later. A.K.A. you don't
well,
have
Well, that's why you check in and you're the mayor everywhere. I mean,
yeah,
Deb wants to be the mayor of everywhere in Stagecoach.
Yeah, and now I need to, whatever. I'll just bump everybody else out. Nobody even knows what the mayor is in Stagecoach. I'm in Stagecoach technically. You should know what a mayor is. But anyway.
That's so funny. So building out that profile and then, you know, building out all, you know, products and services is a new really robust area and there's a lot of different places to put videos. You can link a lot of different assets in your company page off to a landing page. So in conversion, you know, all great landing pages have calls to actions and forms and, you know, great photos that tell stories. So LinkedIn's actually giving you a platform and to, you know, take people out of the platform and get them into a lead nurturing marketing automation system, which is truly where the magic happens. So social media can take you through the whole entire buying process, but I do believe it's just where you have conversations and build relationships and educate yourself and connect with people. And you give people different ways and options to raise their hand and convert into wanting more information or go into another area that they then continue into the sales process. So at the end of the day, there is no there is no replacing the sales process. It's really just enhancing it, and you're able to get a lot more data and context around who these people are, what's important to them, and you know, what stage of the buying cycle they're in.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Okay. AK, we have anything else that we need to pick Nicole's brain on before we move into Geek It Out?
No, I think we covered it all.
I think we did, and I know we're all connected. So, Nicole, before we move to Geek It Out, give us your social platform, share with the audience how they can reach you to continue the conversation.
Yes, so you can reach me. You can go to LinkedIn and look for Nicole Hudson. Again, my company page is Inbound Lead Solutions, and I will be tweeting, as always, at Get Inbound Leads. And I would love to discuss anything digital marketing and social media and lead generation related, or I would just love to talk about current events. So thank you guys so much for having me. This was my first time on Blog Talk Radio, and it has been the best experience.
You did a great job, and so the show will be archived. We'll make sure that everybody knows that they can go back and listen to it again if they missed anything. So thank you, and I'm sure I will see you soon at the next franchising event, but I certainly see you online. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Keep geeking it out, guys.
Okay. All right, AK. It's going to be your time now. Let's see if we can get this song rolling. Well, there it goes.
It's a very geeky show. The kind you listen to with mother. So show me.
All right, AK.
Hi.
What are you going to surprise us with, other than the app that I know you just saw before we went online?
The one that I shared.
Yeah, the one that you shared. You cheated.
All right. I couldn't help it. All right, what have we got tonight? So we have a couple of apps and a couple of sites. The first app that I'm going to share is the one that you asked me about on Facebook the other evening, which is my new favorite app for photo sharing. It's called A Beautiful Mess. And I believe, unfortunately, for your Android, BlackBerry, sorry, Dana, and all you other folks, it's only available in the Apple Store. But it's called A Beautiful Mess. So you go to abeautifulmessapp.com. And with this app, you can put words, you can put kind of like, they call them doodles, borders, different fonts, change it to different colors, kind of across your images. So if you're really big on Instagram, you've probably seen somebody use the app. You just didn't know what the app was. Maybe they added stars or hearts or, you know, a processed food picture. It said yum. Or I shared flowers the other day and it said lovely. So you've probably seen somebody use it. You just didn't know what the app was, which is exactly how I stumbled upon it. I saw somebody do something really cool in my Instagram feed, and I said, "You tell me what app you're using." And they did.
Oh, good. Good. So, yeah. See, I wasn't being forward. It's like, okay, share.
No, that's exactly how I found out about it. So it's really neat. And now that I know what options it has, when I see people using it, I can tell they're using the app. So it's pretty popular. So that's a beautifulmessapp.com.
Yeah, it's by Red Velvet Art, LLC. I need to play with it. I, of course, downloaded it right away. And actually, I think I bought, it's 99 cents. So I downloaded it right away and paid for it. And I think I used it once. Like, I've got to go back and try it again because it really does look like it has a lot of options.
There's another one that's really similar to it that's for iPhone called Landcam. I can't remember if I've shared that on the show before or not, but it's pretty similar, and I've used that for quite a while, but it doesn't have quite all of the font options that this one has, but it's similar. All right, cool. So that's app number one. The next app we have is called Tadaa, and it's TADAA.net. Again, only available on the App Store. And I actually, now I have so many tweets today from hash tweeting at the conference, you'd have to scroll way through my feed to get to it. But what it does is it enables you to take your 2D pictures and create 3D images out of them. So, for example, you know, I'm doing Weight Watchers, and, of course, so I'm posting all this stuff about the healthy stuff that I'm eating. And this morning I took a picture of my yogurt, and I was like, okay, this is such a boring picture. How can I make this more fun? But I want to show, you know, oh, it has 2 Weight Watchers points. I kind of want to share it because now I have a lot of Weight Watchers followers. So I took a picture of the yogurt sitting on my dining room table, and I put it into the Tadaa app. And what you kind of, like, draw with your finger on the screen to, like, outline and fill in the shape that you want to be 3D. And then what it does is it makes the background blurry, and it, like, pops your image out of the screen. And then it somehow takes what you have kind of drawn around and highlighted, and it makes it, like, float around the screen. So, like, my yogurt appears to be, like, floating up and down on my dining room table. Now, when I transferred it to Instagram, it came across as a 2D image. So it still looks neat because it had the blurred background and it had a filter effect on. But when I shared it on Twitter via the Tadaa app and you click on the link, you can see my yogurt floating up and down on the table. So it's kind of cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll have to go back and look at that because that, now you have me curious.
Yeah. And then the next one is also an app. And now I know this is originating local to me in Baltimore. And it says that they're trying to really, really ramp up the local following before it kind of really goes full throttle nationwide. Mm-hmm. So I know everybody can download it, and I don't know if you can activate it just yet. But it's called Walk for a Dog.
Oh, yeah.
And the website that you go to find out the information and download the app is called wolftracks.com. It's WOOF, as in Frank, TRAX.com, wolftracks.com. And it's very, very similar to Charity Miles. So you enable it to go when you're out walking your dog via your GPS, and then it will donate to local animal shelters on your behalf. Hmm. So when I hooked mine up, it picked up my GPS, and it showed me what shelters in my area are participating. And again, because it's originating in Baltimore, it found the local Barks Animal Shelter and said, do you want to walk for this? I selected it. And now when I go out to walk, I can now do this and my Charity Miles app at the same time.
and so, take a picture of your dog using the donate a picture photo.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Our phones are going to blow up soon.
I know. So, so it's really cool. And so, I don't know exactly. You can Google it. There's a whole bunch of articles on it. I don't know exactly when it's launching nationwide or what will happen if somebody outside of my area enables their GPS and it looks for a shelter, if maybe there are some out there. But I would say, you know, let your local dog shelters know that this app is there, and maybe they can work with the app creators.
True. Very good. Good idea.
Right. Next, we have a website, getting away from our apps here. It's called reciteThis.com. It's R-E-C-I-T-E, this, T-I-H-I-S.com. And this is if you have a quote that you want to share or you find a quote on the Internet that you want to share, you type it into the space at the top, and you can see if you kind of scroll across the bottom, there's, 20 or so sort of templates that will show you, more than that, actually. It'll kind of create a neat-looking little graphic around whatever your quote is. So, again, it could be something you find, and it kind of just looks neat. So, like, the one that I've been using a lot for some of my clients just to say stuff is the one that looks like the white background with a black picture frame. I think it looks nice and clean.
Mm-hmm.
But if you scroll through the bottom, you can see the different options. And just another way, if you wanted to share something on Instagram, on your Facebook page, Facebook business page, what have you, just another way to display some text.
So, I see, because I did When in Doubt, Geek It Out. Mm-hmm. And that now, okay, now I see it can go to Pinterest, but I don't see how you share it to Instagram.
Well, you have to, let's see. See, I use a screenshot program on my computer called Snagit. So whenever there's an image, I can just kind of drag
right.
around it and cut it out. So that's how I share it. I don't know if it has an option to, yeah, if you right-click it, it looks like you the image as.
Right. Okay. So then you
so
save
no,
it. Right.
Yeah,
you save it, and then you upload it to Instagram. Okay.
Right.
But I can see that you can put it on Pinterest and post it to Facebook. Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. Very good. Let's see if I can pin it. Yep. It goes right to Pinterest.
I've noticed in my conference this week, going back to the folks that I really love from USA Today, they were sharing a lot of screenshots about things that they had posted on Facebook, et cetera. And they had posted something on Facebook where I knew they had used this website because it was the exact same frame thing that I had seen kind of floating around. So other people are using this too.
They're just as geeky as you are.
They are. They are. I appreciate that. All right. The next one we have is called CharityBets.com. So CHARITY, CharityBets, BETS.com. Now, the purpose of this is you look for a local event. So these are going to be a lot of 5Ks, marathons. They have mud runs here, et cetera. And you say, you know, I'm going to finish my 5K in under 30 minutes. And you say that you want to get sponsors if it's not, you know, something. Well, I mean, some of them do. You know, some of them generally you can get a donation page and you donate to charity. This one is, you know, you can pick another charity. So you can say, you know, kind of bet me that I can or can't finish my 5K in under 30 minutes. And you say, I want to raise, you know, $1,000 for XYZ charity that you pick on the site. So basically people come in and they pledge, you know, an amount of money to kind of bet whether or not you're going to meet this challenge.
Oh.
So it's a way to fundraising matched up with kind of local, you know, running races, events, and things like that.
It's fundraising, it's competitive.
Yeah. So it's nice. So, you know, I work with a couple of 5Ks. I do their social media nationwide. So I'm sharing this site with them, being like, you should, you know, check this out, see how you can get your race listed on there. Because if you go in and do, what is it, start fundraising in the upper left-hand corner, it prompts you to select an activity. So it goes through climbing, mud runs, running races, tennis, track and field, and triathlons. And then you say whether you want to do a certain place or whether it's, you know, kind of a timed goal. You hit continue, and then it has, like, this ginormous list of all of the events that are in its system. So it's only as good as the races that know about it and are adding their events to the system. So if you want to do this, you know, contact the organizers of your event and get them to sign up with CharityBets.
Very good. Now, I know you like to do a lot of 5Ks and whatnot. Did you do a zombie, or are you going to do a zombie run in your area?
No, I still, you know, because I'm still babying my foot, so still, you know, I still can't run, so they could probably catch me on my Nordic walking pole. I am doing in, or actually this coming weekend, on Sunday, I'm doing the Race for the Cure, but I'm going to Nordic walk that, too.
Oh, cool. Okay.
My sister, don't tell my sister. I hope she's not listening because she's, like, uber embarrassed by anything I do that's, like, outside the norm. So when I told her to sign up with me, I didn't tell her I was bringing my poles. So.
Oh, you didn't tell her about the poles. Well, it looks different, and you will get, I'm sure, some views, but that's very cool. I haven't tried them at all. But anyway, so we're running out of time. We will not have a show next week. So, AK, I will get together with you on Social Geek Radio the week after, but hopefully I'll get to see Greg Rafflecopter while I'm in Denver next week, and I hope everybody has a really great geeky week, and thanks for those who have stuck around and listened, and thanks again to Nicole.
Yep. All right. Sounds good. Thanks, everybody.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Oh,
Social media.